God good. Yeah. Amen. I thank Him for His goodness. I've listened to a man preach before coming this morning, Brother Hyatt, and got in my heart and helped me. But I thought I'm going to say, boy, ain't God good. Amen. I thought I'm going to say, but I'm going to come to the house of God ready. Amen. And man was helping my heart, Brother Jonathan. I appreciate God doing that. Amen. We'll go to Romans 8. Pick up where Brother Keith left off last week. Remember correctly, he went down through verse 17, said just a little something about 18. Appreciate what he said. Yes. Amen. About that definition, that word reckon, just to repeat what he said in Romans 8:18. That word reckon there is like he said, that's to be settled and sure in your mind. I mean, to have studied that thing out, we might say, and looked at all the facts and everything and come to the conclusion, amen, of what the truth of the matter is. And that's right. And I do want to say this. I thank God. What a blessing it is to come on Sunday morning and God to use men. We've been blessed. We've got good teachers here. We really do. And I thank God for doing that. I really do. He's blessed this little church abundantly. I was telling somebody just here recent to not have no more people than what we've got. And to be blessed with such an abundance of teachers, and I'm talking about these ladies, that's so good at what they do with these children. We have an overabundance of good teachers here in this class. Have seven preachers in the church? I think that's right. And Brother, God's good. I'm telling you what, just for us to be a little folk, a little small group of people, God sure has blessed us, and I thank God for doing that. I really do. Brother Robert, would you pray for us? Ask God to touch His Word and help us.
Heavenly Father, we bow before You today, God. We come before You, thank You, God, for Your goodness and mercy, Lord. Thank You, God, for another chance to come in Your house, dear God. I pray that You might help Brother Danny. I pray that You might help him to remember, God, what You give him, what You laid on his heart, what I pray that You might bring to his mind. I pray, Lord, it might effectively help our hearts.
Lord, please.
Lord, I pray that You might help him and bless him, dear God. I pray that You might help in the 11 o'clock hour, God. I pray
that
Your will might be accomplished today, God. In Your name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. We'll read verse 18. First of the week, when I knew I was going to be teaching this morning, I thought I might read a few more verses than this. But just this verse 18, through the week, I kept sort of looking back at it and thinking on it and pondering on it through the week. And God just kept giving me a little thought, and I kept jotting stuff down. So I really believe God's will this morning. We're just going to look at verse 18 and just say some things about that, what God's given us. He says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Make emphasis there. It says in us. Amen. I don't know until I read this week several times, Brother Jonathan, that ever just jumped out at me. I mean, I've always read that. It was just sort of like, which shall be revealed in us. You know, in us. It's talking about glory that'll be revealed in us. I do want to say this. I do believe in proper context what this verse is talking about is sufferings with Christ for His sake. In other words, it's talking about suffering persecution because of the faith. Amen? Now, I know we suffer other things in life. I mean, we suffer worldly or natural things. Such as sickness and hardships, car breaks down, I have troubled relationships, this and that and the other thing. I don't believe that's what this is talking about. I really don't. I think this is talking about suffering persecution for the sake of Christ because of our faith. Hatred from the world because they hated Him first. Amen. He said, "They hate me and they're going to hate you also." I believe that's the sufferings with Christ, which is what this is talking about. This is talking about the world hating us, Brother Keith, for taking a stand. Amen. For walking faithfully in the Spirit. For walking in the faith and not compromising. And you mark her down, Jesus said, all that shall live godly shall suffer persecution. Amen. I promise you, the cleaner you try to live according to the Word of God, the stronger and the taller you stand without compromise for the truths of the Word of God, the more and more this world's going to hate you. Amen. I'm not trying to be negative, but I'll say this. If you're a Christian this morning, if you've been saved, if you've been born again, and you're not facing some kind of persecution, you're not standing. You're not standing. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible tells me that. If you're a Christian, but you're not facing at least some kind of persecution, you're not living out your faith faithfully in front of other people. Because if you are, you're going to be facing some persecution. And number one, you're going to get it from is your family, your natural family. Number two is going to be from the quote, religious world. Amen. I believe a day is coming upon us, perhaps faster than we can imagine, that it'll be coming from the government. But I'm going to tell you what, it'll come from your own natural family, and it'll come from the religious world before it'll come from anywhere else. The worst persecution Jesus faced and the greatest hatred he faced during his time on this earth, walking in his earthly ministry, was from those Pharisees and those scribes and those Sadducees, the religious crowd. People didn't know God, they wasn't saved, amen, but they're religious. Is that right? That crowd will eat you alive for standing on the truth. Because see, you point out something from the Word of God and show them that something they believe or they practice is nothing but tradition and there's no biblical foundation for it, Brother Todd. Oh, they'll blow up on you, son, and they'll want to cut your head off. Don't touch my traditions. Is that right? That's what this is talking about. Being faithful to Christ and to Him alone, and it will bring persecution. Amen. I do want to mention this. There are rewards for suffering. Amen. Matthew 5, verse 10 tells us, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Amen. I'll promise you there ain't nobody standing for the Christian faith and taking persecution if they ain't real. They'll back off from it because they won't take it. They won't take the hatred if there ain't something real in their heart. I just believe that. In Luke 6, verse 22 says, blessed are ye when men shall hate you and when they shall separate you from their company. Sound familiar? And shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Is that right? That religious crowd I'm talking about, some of your natural family, Brother Keith, I've experienced it with my natural family. They'll separate themselves from you. We would say they'll cut you off. Amen. And they'll mark you down. They'll declare you the black sheep of the family. And they'll treat you like you got the plague and they don't want to be in your presence. You couldn't pay them to be in your presence. Unless they won't start a fuss or an argument. Amen. I'm never invited, but even if I was, that's why I wouldn't go to a family reunion. If they called me and begged me tomorrow, I wouldn't go. Just be honest. Because I know what it'd be. That's what it says. But here's some good news. Suffering for Christ's sake is temporal. Let's look at verse 18 where we just read our scripture this morning. It says, of this present time. It's going to end one day. It's not going to last forever. It's temporal. Amen. There's going to be a glad day. The Lord's going to come back, amen, and the foolishness is going to stop. Amen. The world's mouth is going to be stopped and shut up finally and completely and totally. Amen. And we'll be with the one who died for us, Brother Todd. And I'll assure you, we're not going to get fussed at from him for taking a stand. Amen. So that's the good news. It is temporal. Amen. But I want to remind you of this, suffering for sins is eternal. You don't believe it, go to Luke 16 and read again about the rich man. The eternal. Suffering for sin is forever. There's two kinds of sufferings in this world. There's one that's going to be faced in the future, and some's already facing some of it, by sinners. Some sinners prosper. I hate to say that, but they prosper. Why? Because they're part of the world system, and that's what they're operating in. So they can find a way to prosper in the world system. Is that right? The Bible tells us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For man loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Amen? That's that world system. We don't prosper so well in it. Why? Because we're not of it. We're in it, but we're not of it. Amen? That's why sinners seem to get by and they get rich and seem like everything's going their way and everything's hunky-dory for them and they're the big shots now, calling all the shots, making all the rules and sitting in the seat of authority. When the Lord comes back, guess what? Game's up. Party's over. They're going to suffer for their sin. Is that right? My question to you this morning, as you sit here this morning, which camp you in? Amen? You suffering for Christ or are you going to suffer for sin? I think you understand what that question is. Have you been born again? I just want to mention a couple things real quick and I thought would be helpful. I wrote down as I went through the week and just thought about some things and looked up some scripture. And really, well, first let me say this. The glory which shall be revealed in us. Now listen, Romans 8, verse 17, it was read by Brother Keith last week. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Amen. That's the glory that's going to be revealed in us one day, is what we have in Christ. Amen. That glorified body, that being like him, no longer not even being able to sin, Brother Jonathan, having all the things of eternity as joint heirs with Christ. Amen. We'll have the full blessings then. We'll have complete and perfect fellowship with him and the Father. Amen. That's the glory that's going to be revealed in us one day. Is what we've got in Christ. Amen. You win the lottery tomorrow, God help you, I hope you don't play it. But if you won it tomorrow, you won $100 million and you died the next day, you wouldn't take a penny of it with you. That is not the glory that's going to be revealed in you. It is nothing of the world you've got in this life. It's what you have in Christ. That is the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Amen. Because when he appears, we'll see him as he is and we'll be like him. Amen. I'll not be him, but I'll be like him in character. I will not be able to sin. Amen. Oh, I like that. Nobody else is going to be around me tempting me sin in front of me neither. Amen. How you like that? Because I'm subject to temptation. You might as well say amen right there because we're all in on that. But here's just a handful of things. I want to give you these and I'll be done. Hopefully this will help you. We're going to suffer. Child of God, you're going to suffer. Amen. The stronger you stand, the closer you get to God, the more public your testimony and your life becomes for Christ, the worse the suffering of persecution is going to get. It's going to happen. Jesus promised us persecution. We're not going to get out of it. Amen. I was going to say we can rejoice in that, and that's one of my points. And it's nothing to dread. If I was going to dread anything, it would be to dread eternity coming upon me if I still didn't know Christ. To dread hell. to dread eternal damnation. That'd be what I dread. Amen. Say, I'll face persecution, Brother Dennis, but Christ will go with me through it. And I can do all things through Him which strengthens me. Amen. He'll not send me out there and throw me to the wolves by myself. He's going with me. Amen. And we'll make it. But what can suffering saints do? Number one, commit yourselves to God. Trust Him. 1 Peter 4:19 says, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Commit yourself to Christ. That's right. Trust Him. Just get it settled in your heart, Brother Dennis. I'm going with God. And God's got me. He's got me in His hand. Nobody can pluck me out. The devil can't stop it. He can fight against it. He can bring persecution and worry me to death if I let Him. Amen. He can even turn some of my family and people around me against me. But He cannot take what I have in Christ. And He cannot thwart the will of God. Amen. The only one that can keep me from doing the will of God is me. As long as I'll commit myself to Christ and trust in His help, Brother James, and say, Lord, I want to do Your will. If You'll help me by Your grace, I'm going to do it. God will help you every step of the way. Do you believe that? I do. So what can the saints do? Number one, commit yourself to God. Commit yourself. Trust Him. Say, here I am, Lord. I'm Yours. You do with me as You please. And whatever comes my way from this world, from my family, from the religious world, amen, if You'll give me the grace to endure it. Amen. I want my life to glorify You. Amen. And that's the way it ought to be. Number two, rejoice in it. Say, that's a little hard to do. Everybody's on your back and cussing you and calling you names and everything like that. Well, Matthew 5:12, rejoice and be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Amen. He's giving us an example here. He said, hey, back yonder, buddy, in them old days in Israel, they persecuted the prophets. Yeah. Amen. You ain't no better than they are. They persecuted the apostles. They persecuted Him. The church has been persecuted for 2,000 years. Is that right? Yeah. Look, about all the thing we get right now is to be told people's against us and from the bad mouth us and hurt our feelings a little bit. That early church where Rome was going out there and crucifying them and everything else and throwing them out there and letting the lions eat them, we ain't faced nothing like that. I mean, we may, when we get out of here, I don't know. Now, I'll be honest with you, my flesh says, I hope not. But we don't know. But I do know this, if we do, God's grace will be sufficient. Is that right? Because it'll just be temporal. Amen. It'd just be temporal. I like what the old man of God said. I mean, he said somebody threatened him, if you don't shut up that preaching like you do, I'm going to kill you. He said, well, that's good. You're going to threaten me with heaven. So I'm scared to death. It's just temporal. Rejoice in what you have. 1 Peter 4:13, but rejoice insomuch as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings. Is that what we're talking about? That when His glory shall be revealed, ye shall be glad also with exceeding joy. Amen. That's our joy, Brother James, is that whatever we suffer here one day, that trumpet's going to blow. And He's going to return. Amen. And He's going to make everything all right. And I'll promise you, He's going to make it all worth it. Amen. It's already worth it. He's worth taking a stand for. He's worth giving my life for by the grace of God. I don't want to do it. I hope I never have to face that. I need a big bucket of the grace of God to stand there and let somebody kill me. But by the grace of God, if that's what it come to, I pray God would help me just to hang on to Him and trust Him and just walk, just swim in that grace and let it be what it is. That He'd be glorified. Amen. That'd be right. And He's worth it. If I died a million times over for Him, it still wouldn't be enough to pay Him back for dying for me once. Amen. Oh, for what God's done for me. Oh, how dare I to withhold or draw back and not stand for God. Oh, my. Talking about what we can do. We can rejoice. Hey, glorify God. That's what you can do in times of persecution. 1 Peter 4:16, yet if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Amen. You know that glorifies God. Amen. I'm going to mention something else here in a minute, but I don't want to get ahead of myself, as Brother Keith says quite often. But when the world's on your back and the world's hating you, and you feel like everything's coming crashing in on you, and it's easy in the flesh to get frustrated, Brother Todd. It's easy to get aggravated. It's easy to just look up to heaven and say, God, I'm tired of this. This is too much. I can't bear it. Amen. Just remember, it's glorifying God. And I'll remind you that the Word of God tells us to do all things for the glory of God. Do you know everything God does is for His own glory? That's His number one purpose and reason for doing everything He does. There are secondary reasons. Amen. God saved me, Brother Todd, because He wanted fellowship with me and because He loved me. But the main reason that He saved me is for His own glory. That's the main reason. Ain't the only reason, but it's the main reason. Everything God does is for His own glory, Brother James. Glorify God in your persecutions. Amen. You know what a good attitude would be? Just pray. Amen. Somebody says something to you, just don't say nothing back. Just walk off and pray. Pray for them. There you go now. Now we're getting down there where it's getting a little hard. Said, wait a minute, he just cussed me. I want to slap him. No, pray for him. I'm just being honest. You've been there. I'm sure probably every one of us will be honest. We've got family members. There's been somewhere down the road they've said something rude and insensitive to us because of our faith, and pretty much all but called us fools for what we believe. And we want to just put our hands around their neck and choke them and shake them like a rag doll. But it wouldn't do no good. And it wouldn't accomplish nothing. Is that right? Remember, whatever your reaction is to persecution, make sure it glorifies God. God expects you to walk on higher ground than them morally. God expects you to be better than them morally. Because you've got His help to do that. They don't. Amen. You can do it. I didn't say it's easy because we still got this flesh. But it can be done, Brother Dennis. Glorify God. Here's what you can do under persecution. I just mentioned. Pray for those who persecute you. Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Whew. Like I said, that's hard to do. I faced some of that before. And you? And I'll promise you in the flesh, my first reaction every time is, boy, to hit the jet, son, and just let her roll. And just let them have it. Tell them off good. Bless God, I'll tell them. That ain't what God said to do. Do you realize when you're telling somebody the truth about the Word of God, especially that they're a sinner, that your motivation should never be to prove you wrong and prove you right and them wrong. The purpose for speaking the truth to sinners should be because we love them and we're concerned about them and we want God's best for them, like we have. Amen. You should never, and boy, I mean, God forbid, I might have wanted to get up here and say something about this. Because I'm just being honest with you, I like to debate. I'm trying to get out of it as much as I can. I'm trying to get away from some of that. But I'm just telling you, I like it. In the flesh, I like it. I'm just being honest with you. I mean, used to, when I was not a saved man, if you said something in front of me that was right, I'd argue with you, just see if I can make you mad. And I'd swear up and down I was right, and I knew I was wrong. That's flesh. Love them. Is that right? Hey, and listen, can I give you a good piece of advice? I've seen this recently, and I'm not guilty this time. I've been guilty of this, but I wasn't guilty this time. But I've seen the ugliness of it and how it can hurt people. After you speak to somebody like that and they badmouth you, don't go walk off and then go pick up the phone, call somebody, or tell your friends, start gossiping about they done it. Don't go tell it. Just leave that between you, them, and God. You ain't got to go tell everybody. Amen. Oh, I went down there to the jail, and I was telling this boy about God, and hey, boy, he just blessed me out and cussed me. So, I've been guilty. It ain't going to help. Pray for them. You don't tell somebody, tell God. That's probably a pretty good policy to have on a lot of things. Something eating you up, tell God. Don't tell your mama, don't tell your daddy, don't tell your spouse or your children, your grandchildren, your friends, your next door neighbor. Sometimes it's all right to talk about things with somebody. I mean, there's things that sometimes I'd call Brother Hyde, and you would too, he's our pastor, and say, I've got this on my heart and I've got this problem or whatever, and I just need somebody to talk to. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about calling just to tell it and try to make that other person look bad. If the only purpose for you to say it is to make them look bad and make you look good, just tell God about it or just don't say nothing. Be good policy. I'm trying to learn that. When God showed me that, I'll pass that on, share it with you. Maybe it'll help you. I've not arrived, folks. Everything I'm telling you this morning, trust me, I'm still working on it too. But I won't be a help to you. Amen. What can a saint do? Here you go. Seek no revenge on those that persecute you. Oh, Romans 12:14, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Well, I'll get them. I'll get even with him. I'll cause him more trouble and he'll know what to do with you. However you might say it. I got a list of them that long I've probably said before. By golly, I'll show him when his day's coming. I'll just bide my time, boy. I'll wait. I'll wait till I can get him good, Brother James. I mean, make it hurt. And then I'm going to get him. Seek no revenge. That ain't right. You know what that does? That just makes you look like the devil instead of them. That's right. And it don't please God. But, hey, the Lord says revenge is mine. If anybody going to get them for doing something to you, that's God's business to get them. That ain't your business. Say, well, you don't know what they've done to me. Don't make no difference what they've done to you.
Right.
And I'm going to say this, and I'm just saying this to make a point, not because it's important to what I'm trying to say, but just so you'll understand what I'm saying. You might say, well, by golly, they killed somebody I know. That's why God ordained a system for the magistrate to deal with them. That ain't our place to go riding off on our little horse with our little tin star and our cowboy hat and get up a lynching party. That ain't right. I'll call his boss, man. He's my friend. I'll get him fired. I've heard people say that. God ain't pleased with that. You're going to suffer persecution as a child of God. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell you a couple things I know for sure about it. When you do, it's going to hurt. It's not going to be pleasant. And it's going to be hard to do what's right. You're going to need the grace of God to do what's right. And if you'll remember that, and before you react, and before you act, and before you speak, if you'll remember that and just bow your head and say, God, I need your help. Because I want to do what's right. Yeah. You might avoid a lot of them situations. You know, there's a lot of times when we say something, even if we're right, Brother Johnson. This was one that was hard for me to learn. Even if you're right, sometimes it's best just keep your mouth shut. Sometimes it ain't what you say, it's how you say it. I can tell somebody the truth, but the way I say it and the motive I say it with can still hurt them. You can stab somebody to death spiritually with the truth. If you can't say it in love and say it because you want to help them and not wound them, it'd probably be best just let it be and just tell God about it and let God handle it. I'm just telling you some things God's taught me. I'm guilty too. I've done it. Is that right? I've said it before. It wasn't that long ago. A few months ago. I mean, there was a preacher here preaching. It was during the camp meeting. He said something when he was preaching. And I was picking with him out there at the fellowship building. And I told him, I said, you know what? I said, I've heard a lot of Baptist preachers say that. We're the only outfit that shoots our, that wounds our own. Shoots our own. And you know what I said? You know what I should have told him? I said, that's right. That's what I should have said. I said, that's right too, brother. We're to pray for him. But you know what my smart self said, Brother James? I said, but I still think it's all right to shoot traitors. That ain't right. You're going to suffer persecution. And it's going to be hard. But it's God's will. That's God's will. And sometimes, you know what, Brother Robert? That proves what you are. People don't stand for God. Ain't nobody aggravating them. Now, I ain't saying you ought to wear that like a badge of honor. Maybe that's the wrong attitude. But I'm just saying you ought to be thankful in your heart, amen, that God's helping you and you're managing to stand for God enough that would cause somebody to want to hate you. Now, I know that sounds crazy. I don't want nobody to hate me. But I'm just saying, knowing that that is the natural reaction of those people, if I stand and that's the way it ought to be, if I'm doing what's right, there's a part of me that says, well, at least thank the good Lord I'm doing right. I don't want them to have that reaction. Don't get me wrong what I'm saying. But sometimes what comes your way proves what you are. Is that right? Brother Rutherford preached about that chicken here when he was here. And I was just standing here just now and I thought about this. Just the fact that that's a chicken puts him in danger on Sunday at lunchtime, don't it? Doesn't it? Well, if you're a Christian in this world, that's just the way it works. You got a target on your back. And you're going to get shot at. Amen. But if you'll just trust God, do what's right. Do what the Word of God says. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. Is that right?
Yes.
Lord, help us. Because like I said, I'm quick to get mad at people. And I'm the first one who wants to fuss and argue and call names. And just let it be what it is.
All right.
Amen. Heavenly Father, and I pray, Lord God, that you'd help us. Lord, I thank you for the scriptures that you led my heart to. I pray that it'll be a help. I pray it'll be a starting point. Each and every one of us would take this and maybe even study it even further. Lord, above all else, Lord, I ask you to help us and give us grace as we stand for you. Lord, I pray, God, especially you give us grace to do right when we react to it. Help us, Lord, to remember that the two greatest commandments is to love you and to love others as we love ourselves. And Lord, if we can accomplish that by your grace, that'll go a long way in helping us to accomplish what we've looked at this morning. Father, I thank you for this time. I pray, Lord, that you spoke to people's hearts. I pray it's been a help and a blessing to them. I ask you to touch the 11 o'clock hour. Pray for Brother Hyatt, Lord. I pray, God, you'd help him as he moderates the meeting. Lord, we want what you want here this morning. Lord, we want you to show up. We want your presence to be manifest. Lord, we want to feel the power of God in this place. We want to see you working in hearts. Lord, and doing your will, and that's what we want this morning. We want the liberty to worship. We've come to worship. We've come to see the will of God be done, whatever that is. Lord, help us to have a receptive heart. Help us, Lord, to be humble. Lord, help us to be thankful in our heart for whatever you give us on this day. Lord, we thank you. We praise your holy name and thank you for the gift of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.